Financial support for WICN and programs like Inquiry come from listeners like yourself. So please take a moment to consider becoming a member now by pledging online at wicn.org. Good evening, this is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My guest tonight is poet John Dervishian. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And we're talking about your, and it's not your latest collection of poems, but we're talking about a collection of your poems called Purification, Cleansing the Contaminated Soul. That's available now, and we're going to talk about how you can get hold of it. But there's a new collection now. Talk to me about it.
The new book is called You Can't Get Inside My Head, It's Already Overcrowded.
Reading Purification, I get that sense.
Yeah, it's a little different. It strays off a little bit differently than Purification.
Okay.
In some sense, where it's more of a lot of my Purification is confessional poetry extent. And the next one, Can't Get Inside My Head, there's still some confessional stuff in there, but it's a lot more it's still deep in meaning, but story written with it's hard to explain. I have to read some stuff. It's a little... I tell a story in a lot of the poems about my past, still reflecting on some of the stuff that has happened to me, also with stuff that's, you know, in present time. It's hard to explain, actually. I mean, I've been compared to, put it this way, I don't know if the audience or anyone's ever heard of Charles Bukowski.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Never heard of the guy until about 6 months ago.
And how did you feel about that comparison?
I loved it.
Okay, great.
I loved it.
Okay, cool.
I've had some people read.
Barfly me.
Yep. I didn't even know he wrote that.
Yeah.
Until I started reading his stuff. But I had friends of mine read my books.
It's tough stuff.
Poetry, yeah.
It's tough stuff.
And they were like, hey, your stuff kind of reminds me of his stuff. And I'm like, who is this guy? So I started reading it. So I guess a lot of my stuff was some of it.
I'll tell you, though, having read all of Purification, it does have that element to it. But you've got also straight-on poetic soul there going, if you know what I mean. There's a lot of classical influence, you know, references and stuff like that. There's a lot more going on there.
Yeah, that's a funny thing, because when I started writing, and I'll say I've been writing for 20 years, but there was a hiatus. I've never read poetry.
Let me talk about this. When I think about all the artistic careers you can have,
right,
probably the least sane one has to be poet. Okay, and the reason is this. You could become a musician, okay, and they'll do one thing or another, but
right,
you know, it's accepted. An artist, I mean, you could be I don't know what. But poets, holy God.
They're not well respected, or they are, you know, but it's not out there, is the thing.
Well, that's the weird thing. Yeah. I mean, there's a weird antipathy towards poets, that, and I'm not sure what it's like, but to many people, they're considered like mimes.
Right.
And I respect the person who chooses a very difficult path, and I want to get to this point with you, okay? At what point in your life do you go, this is what I'm going to do, because I think it was an amazing decision to have made.
Well, I can't say this is my full-time career, although I'd love it to be.
What poet has a full-time career?
Exactly. That's the problem.
I mean, those days are gone.
Right. I'll tell you what. I hid my writing of poetry for 20 years.
Why?
Because I looked at my writing as something that I didn't think people would respect that. I thought my friends would make fun of me. I just didn't think it was a well-respected
or honored
thing.
Did you literally have to come out as a poet?
Yeah. I did, and that's how I look at it. It wasn't until I started sharing some of my stuff a couple years ago. I mean, here or there, I would share stuff with women, but it wasn't like full fledged out there. And when I came out with this stuff and started sharing it, people were like, "You write?"
I want to talk to you about that. So, yeah. Your best friends didn't know you were writing poetry.
Well, I had one best friend who knew I would write. He was in prison. I used to share with them stuff, but
what about the what about other
nothing?
People? So, what's their emotional reaction? All of a sudden, it's like
they're like, "Oh my God, you." Because they look at me and apparently I look like some intimidating fellow. I don't know. That's what I've been told.
And I have to say, I don't mean this in a bad way.
No.
Poetry is very sensitive.
Yeah.
In the sense that it's extremely personal.
Right.
Okay. So, I mean, this poetry puts it all out there. You're like, I know you now from reading.
Oh, read the second one. You'll even know more about me.
But you're risking a lot by putting that out there. And so you've got friends now that are going like, oh my God, this person I know is now a poet.
Right.
So is your reaction like, well, if you had any guts, you'd be a rap singer, you know?
No, it's more or less the, like, I mean, I got a friend of mine that continuously makes fun of me now and says, oh, you're a poet, you're sensitive, you know what I mean? But my therapist says I'm sensitive too, so that's great. She says I got some, feminine intuition or whatever. I'm in tune with my feminine side. But,
excellent.
Yeah, but for a long time, hit it, never came out with it. And like
yeah, so, you know, this is, I got to stop you every stop. Every
right, point. That's fine.
Sharing your poetry with your therapist.
Yeah.
That's risky. That's more risky than sharing it with your friends.
Well, I have a couple poems that I wrote about her as well.
Ba-boom.
Yeah, which is interesting.
But, so, I mean, because of the nature of your poetry, do you find it? I mean, that's like, I wouldn't share my art with my therapist, my visual art with my therapist.
Well, I tell her everything anyways.
Okay, you're right.
So it's like, you know, I can come clean with everything to her. So I, you know, and I do come clean now.
I love this conversation.
So I come clean with everything in the book, too, no matter what.
Absolutely. I want to talk about that moment, though, putting pen to paper.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that that beginning moment when you wrote those first couple of poems. What was going through your head? What were you
I know
realizing?
Exactly.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was in college. You know, I experimented with drugs, experimented with alcohol.
What time period are we talking?
We're talking about 19. What was I? 89.
It sounds like a typical college experience.
It was typical to start with.
Okay, I was in college in the 60s, late 60s. So that you. Trust me, you probably know nothing.
Yeah, I wish I was there then. So, but totally started out experimental.
Okay,
but at that point in time, I had a lot of stuff going on in my life. I mean, I had a friend of mine, a good friend of mine that I went to school with from first grade, that ended up going to prison. He was got 15 to life.
It's mentioned in your
We were like involved in a situation. A kid died. He was 18, 19 years old. Whoa. We were in college together. He killed a kid. So that was a point in my time where I felt I lost a friend. My family life was screwed up.
Was that also a reality check at that point, too? Because that's really serious.
Oh, yeah, because at that point, it's like, which way are you going to go?
Right.
You know, because I always stood on the fence. I mean, I wasn't that bad ass, if I could say that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I wobbled on the fence, and I did some stuff. And that was all to, like, wasn't a positive thing for me. But at that point, when he went to prison, everything kind of hit me because he was the only solid piece of foundation I had that I felt that I had in my life. My parents were split up. I had nothing with my dad, like no relationship with my dad for the longest time. My relationship with my mom was screwed up. So I had nothing. I mean, I was in college. I got myself into college. But when I first started writing, experimenting, but I knew it could waver. It was going to go some way.
And but you gravitated towards writing. And again, I'm trying to get to that.
I know.
Because other people would go, like, I picked up a brush or a pencil.
Right.
And I did that. The writing thing is I think that's the hardest thing in the world. I think it's harder than the visual
and
arts.
I think the first one I wrote is in here. And it's on the, you know, and I just remember sitting down. I was messed up on alcohol, messed up on pot. There you go. And I'm not against
it. And you talk about that
right
in here.
Yeah. And I just started writing, and when
were you
surprised? I was, and then once I saw what I wrote, I just felt it even more. So every time I was in that place where I was like, "This place sucks," you know, I used to cut my arms and stuff for the hell of it, you know, because I'd be like, "What the fuck?" Oh, excuse me, sorry.
Right.
I used to do that. So, but then I found this outlet with writing, and the more I drank, the more drugs I did. I realized that at some point there's got to be an end, either with myself or with doing something positive, still staying connected with my friend in prison who was a positive outlet. But it just – I embraced the writing piece of it and just started writing and started reflecting on everything in my life.
Do you realize how fortunate you are?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Okay.
It's unbelievable that I – you know, where I'm at today was not where I expected.
You missed
right
by a narrow margin.
Yeah. I mean, where I am today and where I was – long ago, I wouldn't expect to be where I am today.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm a...
Do you attribute that to the ability to be able to do poetry directly?
Yeah, oh yeah. I definitely attribute that as a positive outlet for me, because without that, it wasn't like I had... I mean, I had some friends around me. I had some good friends, but I was still trying to find myself as a person, because I was so still... You know, all that stuff in my childhood started creeping back up on me that's discussed either in this book or in the next one. It's all there, and it's like... I got to write it down. I got to get it out because nobody would listen. Or I didn't feel that anybody would. And I couldn't share it with anybody.
You're listening to WISN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. My guest tonight is poet John Dervishian, and we're pronunciations are important. We're talking about several collections of his poem. The one that I have in hand is Purification, Cleansing the Contaminated Soul. And the new one, John, is?
You Can't Get Inside My Head, It's Already Overcrowding.
John, one of the things that happens with artwork, and it happens with me with visual artwork, and I want to know about you as a poet. I'll do something.
Yeah.
I'll put it away for a couple of weeks or sometimes months, and then I go back and look at it, and it's as if I don't recognize the fact that I did it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah,
and I have
totally.
To go through a whole period of working out what was going on in my mind. Talk to me about that process of writing. Do you have something similar?
Oh, I totally do. Like when I write, and even when I get this book, I'll pick it up, you know, and I put it away. I don't look at it or any of my writings.
Right.
And then when I start to read it again, if I got to do readings or anything like that, I'm like, Jesus, did I write this stuff? And then it's, you know, it stirs up all the old stuff that I've had, but it's not as harmful and painful to me because it's already on paper.
Is it therapeutic to have?
It is therapeutic.
It is so different and so risky too. Everybody has thoughts. Everybody's reflecting all the time. But there's a world of difference when you put something in writing on paper, because it becomes external to you, it becomes real, and it's not in your head anymore.
Right.
And that seems like that would create an emotionally huge difference.
It is definitely therapeutic. And the best thing about this is that when I've started doing readings and sharing this out there, people are like, you know what, you've inspired me to write.
Excellent.
I can relate to what you're saying, regardless, you know, confessional poetry, whatever, that it's my own stuff. But people are coming up to me and appreciating what I write, and that's what makes me feel good. I'm no expert on poetry, never took journalism, not an English major, anything like that. So I just started writing.
How do you explain that?
I don't know. Pot?
Wait a minute.
No.
Because when I look at the poems in here, they have form and they certainly seem to.
See, I wouldn't know if they had form. And that's the crazy thing about it, because like I said, I've never grasped on to poetry.
Have you gone now that you're in the process?
Now that I am.
Who do you go back and read now?
I'm strictly Bukowski at this point.
That's because other people have told you that.
Right. And then I started reading this stuff, and I'm like, you know, this stuff is great. It's out there. It's straightforward. Right. It's in your face. I mean, there's a lot of poetry I don't understand. I mean, we're talking Sylvia Plath. We're talking those other people. I mean, it's deep and it's out there. But for me,
Sylvia Plath is really deep.
Yeah.
It's scary.
The thing about my.
But she ended up putting her head in the.
Right. I'm not going to do that.
but the poetry seems to be functioning differently in your life. For Plath,
it
was confessional and angry.
Right.
But for some reason, it didn't cross that line that it did for you, that it became saving, that the process became.
Right.
Therapeutic and safe.
Positive for me. Yeah.
Yeah. It never seemed that in Sylvia Plath. I'm a big fan of Sylvia Plath.
And I try to read her stuff.
I'll tell you what a scary thing is. I have recordings of her reading her stuff.
Now that must be.
She's scary.
Right.
I mean, it's like you hear it and it sends chills down your spine because it's really angry, not healthy angry, like unhealthy. She needs to go to a shrink.
Right. Did she have a therapist?
Right. Yeah, that was.
I got one.
Yeah,
it's good for her.
But it is scary.
Yeah.
And, although I have to admit that I get some of the similar reactions to Purification. Now, speaking about Purification, this is a cycle of poems. It's meant to be read in order.
Yeah.
Talk to me about what's going on throughout the process.
I mean, each poem that's written in there, I can go back to that day, like a diary, and know what was going on. And that's the funny thing. I mean, I got a lot more. I mean, I've had a compilation of poems that I've written over 20 years. Like I said, there was a hiatus of 8 years when I had a kid, and I just was involved with that. But so I picked out the ones that I felt were really compelling or would be compelling to people or just to myself that I felt had some heart to it. And yeah, it is. You start from the beginning and there's an ending to the end of this book for me to some extent, you know. So it's all in there. And like I said, I mean.
And I want to mention there's a lot of personal relationship.
Yeah, love. I mean,
there's a lot of tortured love in there.
Tortured love. I mean, I was at points where I didn't know if I wanted to live, obviously. I mean, that's in there. I mean, it wavers back and forth. And certainly there are some happy things, but there are some fantasies that I've had about the type of woman I wanted or,
right.
you know, that I couldn't have or that I lost. And it's all in there. Or relationships that I didn't have with my family, you know, and it's still, that's still a struggle to this day. I mean, family's always a struggle to anybody.
It's,
and
yeah,
I don't,
it's never gonna
I don't,
work
yeah, and I don't consider myself to have the worst problems in the world, but I, each individual problems are their own, and however people deal with them is how they deal with them. And, you know, so this, I've had some difficult times, and that's expressed even further in my next book about some of the things I've experienced with family.
Let me ask you, do you feel for you?
Yeah.
The best way to get this out and to communicate it is poetry, therefore.
Yeah,
as,
I do.
As opposed to just prosing it and writing, like, you know, and a lot of people do.
I've tried.
And it doesn't work. It doesn't swing.
Like a writing, like a book. I can't do it. I've tried. I've written something.
It doesn't ring true. It doesn't feel like it's
yeah, and I think it's more forced, and I can't force stuff out. So it's like if I'm trying to write something like in that nature, it's all forced to me. This is just, I just got a thought. I throw it down there, and it's there. Well, you know, like, I mean, I'm still thinking about past stuff that I still write about, which is good. And you talked about deep stuff. I mean, a lot of my new stuff, too, is there some humor to it, but there's some meaning behind it. And the best thing, and aside from speaking about the feeling I have with people coming up to me and telling me like they've felt inspired to write or feel that they can relate to my poetry, is that people have appreciated my openness and my ability.
That has to be a different experience for you, though.
Oh, yeah. And my ability just to talk about things what other people are thinking about, which, you know, people won't say things, but I will say it. I don't. You know,
what advice do you have to people who go, like, I want to do poetry?
Just write. You got to let it write. You got to let it get out there, no matter what it, you know, no matter what you're going to put down there, no matter how hurtful it is.
What about self-correcting, though? Like, what about editing and self-correcting?
Yeah, that's a problem.
Okay.
No, I mean, fortunately, I've found some people to review it. I mean,
And you've corrected?
I've corrected myself. You know, in this first book, I've corrected myself.
I was going to say it's because it's too correct. Yeah, but this, I can't believe this just sprang out like this.
Actually, it did. When I'm talking about correction, I'm talking about typos.
Okay.
But certainly, I mean, you mentioned format and structure before. Like I said, I don't know if this is correct format or if there's a correct format and structure to poetry. I don't know. I just write it down, and as it comes out, it comes out, and I just jumble it all up and put it together.
Now, when I think about poetry, and I can tell you right now, I cannot write poetry worth a damn. Okay,
I think everyone can though.
Don't go there. Don't go there. Because, you know, I've tried, and it's like when you tried to write prose.
You're right.
You know how,
right.
You know how it doesn't
yeah,
write
yeah,
true,
yeah, yeah.
And it seems
true.
Forced? Okay, for me, it's visual art. Okay,
right.
I'll do that. But I have tried. I've wanted to.
Yeah.
Like, I've really wanted it. And then I look back and I go, no way, Jose. This is just like... And there is nobody that's seen that poetry. There is nobody.
You got to put it out there on a piece of your art.
No, I don't got to do that at all. Because I think, like I said, I think writing poetry is the riskiest thing in the world.
I don't know if I consider myself a poet. I guess I do.
What else would you consider yourself?
Just someone who writes.
Yeah, but you write poetry. You're right. You are a writer, but you're a poet. You're a poet.
Right, but I guess I haven't.
This
is
the weirdest conversation I've ever had with a poet.
Great. I haven't established myself in the poet world. Do you know what I mean?
Well, let me talk to you about that. Talk to me about performing poetry. Like, okay, now when did that happen? There's one thing to have it just
right
sitting there in the page, and then somebody else looks at it in leisure, and then to stand up in front of a group of people. And first of all, you have to start worrying about performance aspects.
Right.
Like,
well, here's the thing. I don't memorize anything because my head's already full. I can't fit anything else in there to memorize. So I can't. I'm always reading off paper. But no,
there's nothing wrong with it.
Right. Okay. But I thought there was.
Nah.
Because you see other people, slam poets, people like that, because I've gone to different things as venues to see people read. And it's like, you know, everyone's memorizing stuff. I'm like, oh, no, now I got to memorize stuff, but I can't. But anyways, when I decided to get this
book
published.
I went into the first performance.
I started performing when I decided to get this book published. And I only got this book published and I self-published it is because when I had started having people reading it, I had a writer friend who was like, you know, these are great. You should publish this stuff. When I started writing, I never had the thought that I'm going to put this stuff out there for people to read. But then I started, you know, last year, talked to a friend, showing people my stuff. They're like, you should get this stuff out there. So I pursued that. So I'm now like, how am I going to get this out there? So a friend of mine, actually, and I'll give her a plug here. Her name is FY. She runs Elite Promotions. Once a month, she's been doing this for a couple years. She rents out Mint the Spot on Grafton Street for Poetry Cove. where different, she opens it up for people for open mic, which is strictly from 7:30 to 10:30, where they have poets just read.
Fantastic.
It's been a great venue. She's also started having musicians come in there, but that's where I first got my start. And when I first read there, there was like nobody in the nobody there. I'm like, oh, great.
Oh, my God.
But that was good for me, though.
Why?
Because I was able to stand up and get at least the first couple out there and felt comfortable doing it.
I tell you, that to me seems nerve-wracking.
It was. And, of course, I had to have a couple drinks before I did that.
Okay.
But
well, talk to me about performing when you finally get to perform in front of an audience. I mean,
it's exhilerating is what it is, but I don't know if that's what you're going to ask.
Are you looking for audience reaction? Are you looking for recognition? You're looking for.
I think it's a lot. I think it's a lot of it, and that's, you know, being in therapy. That's what I've learned about myself. I didn't get the recognition as a kid.
Man, you're really getting your dollars worth out of this therapy, man. You know, you should.
She's
I hope
good.
Your shrink
five
is
years,
good, man.
5.5 years. I love her.
Okay, man, but she's yeah, really she's allowing you to get up and like perform in front of an audience. Man, you, like off, we should probably have a web link to her.
I know. I should put her out there. If anyone's looking for one, get in touch with me. No, but I think I'm looking for a lot of it. But for me, I mean, I like the recognition, yeah, no yeah. doubt. But the biggest thing for me is getting it out there and letting people know that no matter what you write and no matter what you read, it's your stuff.
What about the performance of it? Do you rehearse it?
No.
John, you confound me at every turn.
I pick what I want to read.
Okay.
You know, and then I bring a few with me like I did today, but I'll pick what I want to read, see what's going on for that night, wow. see what feeling or emotion I got going on and what I want to put out there, and then I'll just get up there and read it. And I always have, which is nice, this band Clockwork, which is a jazz band, play behind me.
Oh, nice.
When I read.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's really been a good catch for, like, I'm different and unique in that manner at this particular venue because no one else does that. And like I said, I mean, a lot of my stuff can come out crass that I like to read out there because I like to put it out there. But it's I like it all, the recognition. I like hearing people that they enjoy it. And
can you bomb like a comedian, a stand-up comedian can do? Like, is there a thing where all of a sudden you just feel like there's no connection to the audience?
You know what? Probably. But I think with poetry, people are always like, yay, good job.
It's the fact that you're up there.
Right, right. It's getting like, up there and reading is like, I mean, man, you're getting up there, so that's all that matters. And
in all honesty, yeah. Like, yeah, it's like, yeah, you've got the cojones to do that.
So I guess I could bomb, you know, but for me, at least I could say after every reading, I mean, people are coming up to me and at least saying something positive about it, and that's wonderful, and that's what I like.
Have you done traditional slams?
No, I don't slam.
Okay. Now, slam seems to be all about the performance and
right.
less about the poetry.
Right, right. It's all, you know, topical issues and things like that. But, yeah, it's a lot of performing stuff, and that's not my style. I've seen it. I like it. It's just not how I write or how I
got it.
Try to get my stuff out there because I don't think it's going to come across the same way. I mean, like, there's a lot of stuff that's deep in here, obviously, and a lot of the stuff I don't think can be read in a performance because a lot of people are like, you know, oh, okay. But I think if you read it on paper, at least you can get into it and kind of understand what's happening. So I try to pick things that I think people will understand, appreciate for a reading piece or a performance piece, and it's not too metaphorical. You know, and that's the thing. I think I captured a lot of people with my writing that were never even interested in poetry. And that's the thing. Like I can get an audience out there that at least that come to me that was like myself, never picked up poetry, and they appreciate what I write. So I think that's a lot of what I'm appealing to at this point.
Now, I know this is an imposition, but can I ask you to read a poem?
Oh, sure.
And we might have time for like two.
Okay, great.
And your choice, man. It's again, I'm impressed that you're sitting here reading it.
All right. Let me. I'd like to read one from this book,
and then one from the
and
new
then one.
One
from the new
okay,
one.
Okay, cool.
So if that's something we can do. I've picked out a few. It's just figuring out which one's the best here. I'm going to read this one. It's pretty heavy for me.
Okay.
It's called Daydreaming. It's Ooh. On page 20 of your book.
I just happened to open to that. Okay.
So,
yeah.
I mean, this was definitely a time when things weren't so well for me. So thinking about what I'm going to do with myself and just wasn't in a good space. Daydreaming. Often dream off into a world of my own. No one can find me there. A place where there are no doubts and only serenity. What a place to find. No such things as time or limits. Where all desires and dreams come true. What a place to find.
when I read that,
yeah.
My reaction is, and it's all in the title, Daydreaming, is that there is no reality for the Serenity in you,
because there wasn't.
It's just the figment, man.
Right, that's all it was. I've had all these dreams, and that's where I lived.
That's all it is.
Right, that's where I lived. Like, wondering what life is going to be like. I want this, I want that, but my life, you know, that's all I had was daydreaming. Like, going to sleep was the best thing, because you dream. And I think it speaks a lot of it, and I wish I had more time, but there's a poem in here which just reflects on me looking back into myself, you know, getting high and being like, if I continue to live on somewhere else, I'm gonna miss out on everything that's happening now.
That's the lure. That's right. Always the lure of getting high.
Right.
That is always it's to live in that daydream world.
Right. And that was a big issue for me. I mean, I still have a couple drinks. I still socially smoke. I'm not condemning that, but I chose where I wanna be and don't let something else
I wanna hear from the new book, man.
Great. This is one of my favorites, and this happened to spawn up on me after I went to a strip club here in Worcester.
Wow. Go for it, man. This is a first for me.
Yeah. It's called The Last Dance. So, she parades herself on a marble top, hoping that someone will catch a glimpse of her, that within the next 16 minutes, she will earn enough to carry out her dream. Is she that narcissistic as she continues to look fixedly at herself in the mirror? Or is this a way to transfer the pain to the person who's looking back at her? The perfume permeates the air to conceal the heavy sweat. Another glass of whiskey to accentuate the illusions that I create. I am seated behind those who provide her with the monetary incentive to continue. I can't help but think how she made a decision to exploit her innocence. Her resume reads, I can wear high heels, I'm good with poles, and enjoy extracting the moral virtue from the soul. Perhaps I'm wrong. If this is the case, I awkwardly place my donation, bid you good night, and walk off to the desolate prospects that surround me.
Fantastic, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Really?
And it's funny thing is when my friends came up from Cambridge, I don't know how much time I got, but my friend recently got out of prison after 19 years, and it was
oh my
the best
God.
Thing ever.
So how did that all work out?
It was the best. I mean,
how did he survive that time?
He survived, and he turned.
Is he a better person?
Oh yeah, he definitely is. He's doing well. He's got his own place. He's got a well respected person in the community now. He works with kids on the side just to help promote, like, you know, no violence and things like that. But when he got out, he's been out for now 2.5, going on 3 years now. But when he got out, he's never been to a strip club, obviously. So a lot of us had dinner together. You know, and we were like, hey, they came out here. We went to the strip club, and I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at these women. I mean, I'm like, this is such a waste. And that just inspired me and prompted me to write this
Are
poem,
you writing
The Last Dance.
In the strip club?
No, I'm thinking about it. But I did sell books out in the strip club parking lot afterwards. And I was like, let
John,
the cops get a hold of this.
How can people get hold of the books?
They can go to my website. It's called www.purification.yolasite.com.
And we're going to put that on the WICN
Excellent.
Website when I do the description.
I mean, they're available. It's Purification, Cleansing of a Contaminated Soul, available at Bonds, Amazon.com. You can go into any Borders and order it. It's out there.
You've been listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. My guest tonight has been John Dervishian, poet.
Thank you.
Okay. And we've been talking about his collection of poems, the one that I have called Purification, Cleansing the Contaminated Soul, and the new one, which I love the title of this.
You can't get inside my head. It's already overcrowded.
John, we're going to have you come back at some other point.
I appreciate it. Love to.
This is Mark Lynch for Inquiry. Good night.